For this and all Clinical Updates podcasts, a 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit will be available for a limited time. To claim credit, view the slide deck associated with this podcast and complete the evaluation found in the slides. Speakers, planners, and CME staff do not have any relevant financial relationships with ineligible companies to disclose.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me. Today we have Dr. Raquel Walsh, a pathologist in Rice Hospital, who will be talking to us about CVCs, or as she called it, the anatomy of a CVC. Hello, Raquel, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a big topic.
Big topic in 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about line by line. There's three of them. Let's start with the white cells.
Yep.
And I think the most common way to segregate abnormalities for white cells is low or high. So let's start with low leukopenia. What are causes for leukopenia? How you go about that?
Yeah, so the one thing with looking at your white cells, if you have a high white count or a low white count, it's very important to look at which cell is predominantly low or high. Mm-hmm. So always look at your absolute values. So most commonly, if you have a leukopenia, so your white count's under 4, most of the time it's a neutropenia. Mm-hmm. And that is typically seen in patients with a medication reaction, infections, sometimes malignancy, but it typically we see leukopenias as people age. Some people just have neutropenia of age, and that's just kind of their normal. So it's always important also to look at your trends over time if you have other CBCs to compare to and your clinical information. Are they acutely ill? We might want to reassess this once that's over.
Of course.
Whereas if your lymphocyte count is low, that's commonly a viral infection, especially in children. Frequently, leukopenia, it's classic, is caused by acute CMV infection or your initial CMV infection if you had it. So we do catch that sometimes on a blood smear. Some lymphomas can cause lymphopenias and medication. All medications can cause low anything.
Sure.
And the other thing, if you have a 0 monocyte count and pancytopenia, that's a very classic sign of hairy cell leukemia. So,
which is a T cell leukemia?
Hairy cell is a B cell leukemia.
A B cell, okay.
That arises usually from the spleen. And they have, it's called hairy cell leukemia because it has villous projections around the cytoplasm that make it look like it has hair around the.
Now, we do see low monocytes or hypomonocytosis in acute infection. So just to reiterate, it's not the right time to be looking at this.
No.
It's an acute event.
And it's not in isolation either. You have to use all your other pieces. And then the same goes for leukocytosis. Mm-hmm. Just because you have a high white count, that doesn't mean as much to me until I look at what line is high. So if you have a neutrophilia, and Dr. Mincy, this is where your expertise comes in. Most commonly, that's from an acute bacterial infection, pneumonia, UTI, all that kind of stuff. And that's usually will be rising quickly and it'll come back down once the infection resolves. We frequently see neutrophilia that has persisted for years in patients. That's usually in smokers, people who have autoimmune disorders. And one I've noticed increasing more is patients who are obese. And the reason for that is the adipocytes themselves actually release inflammatory markers. So but they usually have a white count of like 12, 13, 14. It's not going to be 25 or higher. Okay. Whereas if you have a leukocytosis of lymphocytes, usually a viral infection, EBV is classic. But if it's been chronic and going over time, lymphoma can do that too.
Sure.
Eosinophilia, you look for allergic reactions, parasites, skin disorders, things like that. Medications can cause.
And certain malignancies too.
Yep, yep. Very rare malignancies can cause eosinophilia, the PDGFRA associated neoplasms. And monocytes, that's another good thing. Monocytes increase usually with neutrophils because there's from the same stem cell precursor in the bone marrow. So they're stimulated together. Okay. So you frequently will have a monocytosis with a neutrophilia, and that's just to fight off infection. If you have monocytosis that's increasing over time, then that's more concerning for like a CMML, for instance. Okay. But usually the counts are over 1.6.
And I wanted to add a clinical parallel. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. Because it still happens that people will have leukocytosis and then you ask some people are on steroids. And
yes.
Now, if I understand correctly, what steroids do is they demarginalize the white cells from the walls. So basically, instead of pushing stuff out along with blasts, you will see high cells but normal or low blasts, versus in an infection, you will see high blasts because everything is being pushed out. With the steroids, it's not that you're producing or releasing more. It's just the neutrophils live attached to the vessel walls and they get released. Am I correct about that?
Well, hopefully you don't have a ton of blasts unless you have like GCSF.
I'm sorry, I meant bands, not blasts.
Oh, bands. Yes.
Bands.
Okay.
No, blasts. Yeah. No, zero. You don't want any blasts. No, bands.
Bands, yes. So bands are essentially early precursors to a neutrophil. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lot of bands, it's probably because your bone marrow is making a lot of neutrophils in response to something. So usually an infection. But yes, if you give steroids, your neutrophils essentially enter the circulation when they would have been kind of just sitting on the side. Or
so you wouldn't see bands with steroids typically?
No, because it's iatrogenic instead of an actual physiologic response.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to another one, erythrocytes. How do we look at them?
So first off, and I do see this happen, when you have an abnormal hemoglobin, make sure you know whether it's low or high. The workup is entirely different if you have a low hemoglobin, that is anemia, but also a low hematocrit, and RBC is also anemia too. So not all three are always decreased, but if you have just an RBC low, that is also anemia.
Of course.
That was something I learned in my hematopathology fellowship. But if your red count is high, that's called erythrocytosis, and that has a completely different differential and workup that's required. So it does happen sometimes where we'll have an erythrocytosis high red cell count where I will see an anemia workup done. You know, so first off, just make sure you know whether it's low or high.
And then in the red blood cells, we can look at them by size or color, right? So
yes.
If we look at by size, what do we see when there's anemia? What should we look at?
So when you're looking at your anemias, so now you know that the hemoglobin, hematocrit, or red cell count is low for that patient. Mm-hmm. Now you want to look at your MCV, which tells you whether the red cells are large, small, or normal size, and it's just looking at your hemoglobin content of that cell and how big.
So that's a median corpuscular volume.
Yes, exactly.
And when it's abnormal, the term is anisocytosis. So there's a lot of variation in the size.
That would be an elevated RDW, distribution width. So if you have a MCV under 80, that's called a microcytic anemia.
And it's homogeneous across.
What's that?
It's homogeneous. You are all small. But if you have a lot of variation in size, then the RDW would be abnormal.
Yes. The only thing is sometimes if a patient is iron deficient, they'll have a low MCV. And they will have anisocytosis as well because they make funky red cells that are they don't have the hemoglobin to hold. So they get a lot of lymphocytes, microcytes. So your RDW will be high in iron deficiency. So microcytic anemia, MCV under 80, it's usually iron deficiency, and then sometimes thalassemia. But that's more, you see it in kids, but that's the clue to that is an elevated RBC level. And you definitely want to get a peripheral smear, and we help work you through that.
And in those cases, what is median corpuscular hemoglobin, MCH, and the MCHC, those will be low too?
Yes. So MCHC is looking at the hemoglobin content. So if your MCHC is low, that's a pretty good indicator of iron deficiency.
Okay.
So you're just not making as much. I don't use MCH a lot when I'm looking at blood smears, unless some weird conditions will make it really elevated. But generally, I don't use the MCH when I'm evaluating CBC day to day.
Okay. How about normocytic?
What's that?
Normocytic.
Yeah, normocytic. So is MCV 80 to 100. And those I like to split up into hypoproliferative and hyperproliferative. And okay. You want to usually look at your retic count and you put in a corrected retic index on the computer. There's calculators mm-hmm. to do this. So hypoproliferative means that your bone marrow is not producing what it's supposed to. There's some sort of thing going on in the bone marrow that it's not producing what it should. Whereas hyperproliferative, where you have a lot of reticulocytes or the new baby red cells, usually someone is bleeding or they're hemolyzing.
Okay.
So that kind of puts you down two different categories. Hypoproliferative normocytic anemias are quite common. Renal disease is by far the most common reason for that. Their kidneys are just not producing that erythropoietin to produce. So their bone marrow doesn't respond because your kidneys aren't making that.
Sure.
Liver disease, bone marrow diseases can do that too.
This is like 80% of the patients you see in clinic with a bunch of comorbidities, ongoing inflammation or infection or kidney.
It's usually like multifactorial. Yeah. And as patients get older, they more commonly have that.
Okay. Can we skip to macrocytosis?
Yep. So that's your MCV over 100. B12 mm-hmm. folate deficiency, you want to rule out that. Medication reactions, alcohol, chronic alcohol use can cause a macrocytic anemia, most probably from nutritional deficiency in that setting. Low thyroid and MDS, myelodysplastic syndrome, classically produces a macrocytic anemia over time. Right. So that is one clue if you're worried about a myelodysplastic syndrome. A lot of them are macrocytic, and it's just because they're producing not the way they should, essentially.
Okay. Now, there can be situations in which you don't have anemia, but you have an abnormal MCV or MCH.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could be missing something if you just ignore it. Can you come up with any of those situations?
Yeah. Macrocytosis in the absence of anemia is pretty common. We see that a decent amount. I want to say most of the time it's from a medication that the patient's on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's more something that you want to watch, and you probably want to exclude an early B12 or folate deficiency in that setting. If you can catch it early, then maybe they won't ever get anemic. Early iron deficiency, you'll have a low MCHC, low MCV before possibly you have an anemia present. So sometimes it's an indicator of something starting. It's just that the production of the cells has not caught up yet. It hasn't quite been affected.
Okay.
Because your red cells live 120 days, so they're still around, you know, from production that was 80 days ago. If you weren't iron deficient then, you know, you might still be, you might still have enough of them circulating.
Okay.
So it does take time to catch up.
How about erythrocytosis?
So erythrocytosis, when your hemoglobin is high, most commonly is from a secondary cause, which means it's from a chronic hypoxic state.
Mm-hmm.
Probably renal disease, lung disease, smoking, sleep apnea put you kind of in a chronic hypoxic state. So your body's trying to produce more red cells, so you get an elevated red cell count. Testosterone medications, I've seen that do that too. Patients who are taking exogenous testosterone too. Whereas your primary erythrocytosis is a little less common, but it's most likely from a disease called polycythemia vera. That is a clonal mm-hmm. proliferation. So it's a stem cell disorder in the bone marrow, usually from a mutation. Most of the time it's called JAK2. That's a mutation that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
The way to differentiate between these two is to get an erythropoietin level. So if you have an erythrocytosis and you have a high erythropoietin level, that means your body is trying to produce more red cells.
Sure.
So it's more likely a secondary cause. Where if you have a lower normal EPO, that means the red cells are not responding to that, but to some other clonal process.
Okay.
So a great screen for erythrocytosis to get an erythropoietin level.
Okay. Now let's a couple of minutes on platelets, if you will. Good luck with that. But thrombocytosis versus thrombocytopenia. What are the big ones to be worried about with thrombocytopenia first?
So first off, thrombocytopenia under 150. The lower it gets, the more concerning it is. Anything under 10 is kind of an emergency because patients could spontaneously bleed. Sure. You see it often in kids with what we call idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, ITP. It's just an autoimmune condition. Sometimes they think it's from some sort of viral infection. They'll get a platelet count of 5,000 and they'll have petechiae and they're, you know, you got to treat those quickly. So first off, anything under 10,000 is urgent. The differential for thrombocytopenia is very wide.
Sure.
It can be from destruction, which would be ITP. It's an, you know, destroying the actual cells. Your spleen is enlarged, liver disease, you have a large spleen, and then bone marrow conditions as well. So looking at your trends, looking at your clinical history, what other conditions they have are all
TTP
important.
Is one you don't want to miss either.
Yeah, so thrombocytopenia, I would say, should always get a peripheral blood smear at some point. Especially because, like you said, if you see fragments on the blood smear and a low platelet count, that's concerning for thrombocytopenic purpura, yeah, which is a medical emergency. So yeah, any fragments on your blood smell, if we say red cell fragments, schistocytes is what we commonly call it, and those are concerning. And we probably will be calling you about those.
Okay.
If we see that. It's kind of a rare disease, but you do have to get them in for plasma exchange. And that treats the disease, so.
How about thrombocytosis?
By far and away, the most common cause of thrombocytosis is reactive secondary causes. You see it in the acute infection, similar to why neutrophilia happens. Iron deficiency very commonly produces a thrombocytosis. So don't work up a thrombocytosis until iron deficiency is gone.
Okay.
Very commonly, it will be gone too, once you recheck it. And then your primary thrombocytosis, again, very similar to the erythrocytosis, is from a molecular abnormality in the bone marrow. And so you'd want to watch trends over time. Usually those patients have slowly elevating platelet counts over a long period of time. And then they usually tend to have splenomegaly and bleeding, actually. Even though their platelet count is high, they actually have a tendency to bleed because the platelets are not functioning.
Well, that's,
I was just going to say the one thing, this is a scenario that just happened. That's why I'm saying this. A platelet count over a million can happen in secondary cases. It's very rare, but their risk of thrombotic complications is very low because the platelets are functioning appropriately. And it's transient, it will go away. But a patient who might have a primary thrombocytosis, like from essential thrombocythemia, and a platelet count over a million are fairly high risk of clotting, and you need to address that quickly.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to cover. You have slides attached to this, which helps a lot, but we are prisoners of time constraints, I would say. So thank you very much for these 15 minutes of basics of a CVC, Raquel.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you. That was Dr. Raquel Walsh from Pathology talking about the anatomy of a CVC in a nutshell.